Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Good Tuesday, everybody. Welcome in Chase and Big Joe. 102.5, 106.3 the game. He's Big Joe Dubin. I'm Chase McCabe. Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier on the ones and twos. We're live today at Bridgestone Arena. Predators back in action tonight against the Anaheim Ducks, or the Mighty Ducks, if you want to call them that. Looking forward to that one later on, as then they're not back until Saturday. They'll have more road games later this month, so we'll get into that with Hal Gill coming up at 9:30. But Michigan is the national champions.
For now.
Yeah, there's some people that think they're relevant on social media that like want to.
For now.
For now. Yeah, for now.
I don't know. I mean, I'm not going to debate what this and that, but, you know, they wanted, they beat Alabama and beat Michigan and beat Washington. They're the national champions, and now we'll never go back to that before, because now we'll have 12 teams, and people like Joe Rixler will be bitching and moaning. Then we'll go to 24 teams, and then the 25th and 26th team don't get in. Then we'll go to six. I mean, it's just the, I don't know. It was an end of an era that I came to like and enjoyed it, and now we can just go on and on. We'll reward mediocrity down the line. So congrats, college football. But anyway, Michigan wins, and congrats to all the – which I didn't know. There's a lot of Michigan fans that were that are around.
There's people I have known for years that last night revealed themselves as Michigan fans.
Right. What's going on?
I was like, oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, well, good for you guys. Yeah. You know, what's crazy? They put a – I did not know that. I should have – Bo Schembechler never won a national championship. I should have known this. Yeah. And I did. Michigan's only won 3 national championships.
And 97 was the last one they split with Nebraska.
That was Lloyd Carr. So they didn't – I'm just kind of like, whoa. I mean, I probably heard it before, didn't put it together until last night, but they got it. Chase, who's got it better than us?
Nobody.
I love that, because it's kind of egotistical and kind of bravado. I like it.
I love Jack Harbaugh doing that stuff too.
Yeah.
Like blowing the mic out.
That's right.
That was pretty good.
So Jack Harbaugh won a national championship. Chase, do you know where he won a national championship?
Was it a NAIA at Western Kentucky?
How dare you? 1AA.
It was a 1AA. Yeah. Okay.
That's right there.
I knew it was Western.
Yeah, that a boy. What was the quote, Jim? So let's say now I can sit at the table with my dad and my brother now.
Yeah,
we've all won championships.
Well, I mean, they have to be the first brothers to have a Super Bowl and a national championship between the two of them.
I would think so. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think they're the first. I can't think of brothers that. Well, I'm sure somewhere down the line. Well, the Ryans, but Rob was never a head coach.
No, never won a Super Bowl either.
Didn't
want
to win anything.
Nope, you're right.
I think Rex won one as a DC.
With the Ravens in 2000? Yeah.
No, and yeah. Maybe that's
what. Wasn't 2012, was it? Because I think he was wrapping up the Jets.
Yeah. So maybe not. I don't know. But anyway, Jim Harbaugh was charged up last night after their win. I wonder if he charges on somewhere else.
Of course he is.
After that one. I mean, I've been saying it. I'm going to stay by. I think he goes to the Chargers.
Yeah.
What does he have left to prove at Michigan?
He has more suspensions coming his way, possibly.
Probably. Yeah.
So, yeah.
They're not taking the title. I honestly, this could be a hot take. This could be right. This could be wrong. I think those days, because they finally have – realize how stupid it is to strip titles and banners and all that stuff, and that it like, what does it do?
Right.
The moment happened. You lived the moment.
Right.
So I think those days are done.
I just want to know, he was asked by Marty Smith about all this, and he couldn't comment on it, but still says he's innocent. I want to know, because if you come at me, right, like, did you do this, and I know I'm innocent, I'm going to defend myself nonstop. Was he just told to kind of basically shut your mouth and get your suspension? I mean, he missed 6 of their 15 games this year that they played in, so he missed 40% of their games. I don't know what the end result is for them, but you're right. It happened, it's over, and So it'd be interesting to know what advantage they got from the sign stealing down the line. And I'm not sure we'll ever truly know what goes on, but sure. I mean, congrats to Michigan for doing it. You see, they already got the early 2024 poll out.
Oh, no.
And it's Georgia, like, overwhelmingly, like, is the number one favorite going to next year.
I mean, that's
– we love it. Yeah. We're going to look at it and love it. And this is based off what's all going on with the portal and everything. So.
Look, I'm telling you, you know, Georgia will probably have that, and Alabama will be back up there. SEC is not going to be a walk in the park. Not that it has been before, but now it's gotten even harder. No divisions. You're adding Texas and Oklahoma. You know, Texas is a team that's going to be back. Tennessee's better. You know, if Nico is what they think he is, I mean, they're going to be a force. You would think Florida's going to get better. So, I mean, it's going to be really interesting to watch the SEC. And especially now with the 12 teams, you know they're probably going to get five or six.
So, here's Alabama's schedule next year, right? They go to at Wisconsin in early September. And, look, they probably win that game, but that's not an easy place to win.
Nope.
Then they come back. They've got Georgia. We'll skip over at Vanderbilt. They'll beat Vanderbilt by 1,000. They'll beat South Carolina. Then at Tennessee, Missouri, that all too early polls got Missouri in the top 10. So they got Missouri, LSU, at Oklahoma. So you're exactly right, man. You've added Texas, Oklahoma, some switching around schedules. You still play the one Power 5 non-conference game. And so there's a lot of big games next year. So it'll be exciting to see how that all plays out. But again, you know, you could lose those one or two games and, you know, back your way into the playoff. That's you're being rewarded for that. Don't get me started.
Yeah, well. Would you have been happy if they had gone to six?
No.
You just wanted to keep it.
I'm old school. I still love the griping.
You're old school. It's 10 years old.
No, I love the griping of the 70s and 80s and going to the off season and who should have won and who didn't win, and that always made me laugh because it was just a debate for months and years.
Look, that's a bad system. Like a system of just naming a champion or a poll determining a champion and having split champion. Like that's a bad system. The fact that it went on as long as it did is just shameful.
Well, here's my thing with all that. It just because college football was more unique than NFL because every game truly mattered in college football. Now, I mean, you could say it matters, but if you like, well, we lost this or that one, we're still going to get it. So, it just takes a little bit of the shine off of it a little bit for winning and losing and everything. I don't know. But, I mean, they're not going to listen to me. It is what it is. I'll have to embrace it, and I'll do it in my own due time.
So, Michigan wins the national championship last night. College football is done for the year, we'll be depressed for a little bit, but we'll get through it. We got the NFL playoffs.
Well, it was good for a couple hours to get away from the Vrabel talk, right?
Yes.
I mean, it was good. Also, a pro tip, don't watch the national championship with about 30 college football coaches in town because they critique every single play. Just don't. You can watch with one or two of them. I highly don't recommend watching a huge football game with 30 college football coaches.
I bet that was something.
It was. It certainly was. But it was good for the 3 hours to get away from the Vrabel talk. And, you know, I'm not in tune in it as Jared is or Joe is or whomever, but still getting a lot of texts from people on the country asking me about it. I'm like, I don't know. When I know, I'll let you know.
So there's a lot out there, and we now transition into Vrabel Watch 2024. They had locker clean-out day yesterday. The players spoke. There was no notice of a press conference for Mike Vrabel. The word, Teresa Walker put it out there that she was told to be later in the week. And then Jared comes on the midday show and gives a report that he had talked to a source that was basically saying that Vrabel was going to demand that a president of football operations be brought in to basically oversee both he and Rand Carthon. And I guess essentially be the deciding factor that – Vrabel wants to be a part of the process, but doesn't want final say. He wants to be a coach, and you know what? I don't mean that in Jared's report. I mean, I can believe Vrabel saying that. Like he just strikes me as, I was wrong on that. Like I thought, okay, he wanted all the power. Now that I've kind of watched him this year, maybe he did at one time want the power. Now I feel like he just wants to be a coach. And so, you know, he wants somebody to, and quite frankly.
Then what the hell is a GM's job?
Well, I mean, basically, if he's demanding all this, he's basically saying that he doesn't think that Rand Carthon is.
How does that work? How does that work when you're in the lunch cafeteria at St. Thomas Sports Park? And, you know, Rand's in there eating the sandwich. The Mike brings his tray in. I mean, do they say hi? They sit together. They sit across.
No.
It's just by the uncomfortable.
Way, there was the video after the win on Sunday.
Right.
And everybody picked up on it that he and Rand Carthon hugged. That was so staged. I went back and watched it. That was more staged than that little introduction that Rand got walking into the lobby.
Have you gone back and watched that introduction in the lobby? Yeah. It's awful. It is 100% staged. Amy Adams is the worst actor in that play. Awful. Absolutely awful and all that. So I don't know how it's going to play out. I think the longer the silence is, the more I think they're trying to work something in the back door. You know, something of.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to be back now. Like, I just – my I have said that I think he should be back, and I thought that he will, but now with all this new stuff coming out, I don't know. Like, I don't know how you come back from that.
Exactly.
Like, if you're demanding that you want a boss for you and the guy you're supposed to be collaborating with
– yep.
There's no coming back from that.
And I
look at it as a power play of, like, get me out of here.
Yeah, it is. Then you got to spend a week with him at the Senior Bowl.
Yeah.
Then you got to turn around and probably do some Super Bowl thing with. And then you have to spend, 10 days at the combine, whatever it is now. I don't know what's might be shrunk down now with him now and all the questions. And it's just going to be very uncomfortable. And I just think you move on now. I mean, Vrabel's at this stage, and they hire some czar. He's going to be questioned about this nonstop throughout the offseason, into the preseason, and on and on. And I just think that's going to be really difficult for everybody to kind of get along and try to reach the same goal.
So I've kind of thought through this, and I'm going to take you through my mindset with all of this coming up next. And we welcome your calls and texts on Mike Vrabel. What do you think? Do you want him back? Do you think that this is a power play? Just your thoughts in general. 615-737-1025. That's our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll talk about that more coming up next. Hal Gill at the bottom of the hour here in Chasing Big Joe, 1025, 1063 The Game.
I mean, I love everyone in this building. I hope it stays the same, and I hope that we're all able to grow and we're all able to stick together. Obviously, I don't have a say in any of those types of things, but, you know, hopefully it stays together and we're able to keep this thing rolling.
That was Will Levis yesterday during locker cleanout. Chasing Big Joe, 1025, 1063 The Game. We're at Bridgestone Arena today. Predators in action against the Anaheim Ducks. So we're on Mike Vrabel watch, and let's go live now to St. Thomas Sports Park for an update. Thank you for the update. That's
you had me, man.
That's what we got. I know. I'm sure.
What?
I can see Frazier back at the studio, just like going, wait, you didn't tell me what to do.
I just had a miniature heart attack.
I got one too, Dr. Crane. Don't you worry about that as well.
Darren did that to me one time, and I knew I had to do it at some point, but it was pretty funny. Remember when the ownership group was like Barclay, Cunningham, Adams, and Amy Adams Strunk, and it was like this group and. They never talked. They were just like behind the curtain. And so
for years.
And so we did he basically goes, let's hear from Amy Adams Strunk. Wow. Ugh. And so people thought that we had these clips and that they weren't working. It was hilarious.
You got me on that one too, man.
Yeah. I mean, look, and I think the longer this goes, you can kind of figure out where it's going to go. And I've been, you know, I've looked at it as they both need to come back, you know, give Rand another opportunity. It was his first year. I think this draft was, you know, right now looks to be okay. Free agency, so much.
His draft. I mean, we're going to still debate his draft. It wasn't his draft.
Well, okay, both of them. I mean, I don't know. Like, I have no idea. That's the problem.
Oh, man.
Jared's report, if all of that turns out to be true.
I hope it is.
And, yeah, I do too. I mean, for those of you that, like, are dismissing it because it's Jared, like, you know, come on. Just pull your head out of your, you know what.
Yeah,
but
do it.
But, you know, whether it's all true or there's parts of it true, there's a lot of information out there right now.
But it's a lot. It's all in the same arena. You know what I'm saying? It's all, like, Section 108. 108, 104, 211, it's all like kind of the same for the most part, the same, not completely the same thing. And so, again, you know, there's smoke, there's fire. I just love the fact, I love drama when I'm not involved, right? I think this is all fascinating to me.
Because
all
here, of it. And you know how this works, too. Here's what's going to happen. Jared's going to be told something from his source. Kaharski's going to be told something from his source. Rexroad's going to be told something from his source. And you know, Diana Russini's going to be told something from Vrabel. Like, you know, right? I mean, there's going to be all these things.
Do we have sources? I don't think I have a. Do we have? Can we make sources up? Is that the wrong thing to do? Though?
Yeah, that's probably that's.
I don't have. Yeah. I feel left out. I don't have sources.
Yeah, you got that one guy over there.
Well, he did tip me off before the John Robinson firing.
Yeah,
remember?
Yeah.
That was, for those who don't know, the day John Robinson got fired, I got a random text from a name and said, something's about to happen at St. Thomas Huge. And I texted you and Ricky, like, immediately.
Yeah, right.
We're like, what? And then, like, it happened. So this guy is tuned in. I've not heard from this guy in all this going on, but I was glad that I texted you we didn't think I'm an idiot. Like, oh, he's throwing stuff out there. And it happened. And
like, it literally happened 5 minutes later.
Right?
I'm sitting here trying to talk to Willie and Derek, and Willie used to hate it, like, when I'd get distracted on something, and I just, like, got silent, and I was like, uh-huh. And he goes, Chase, we're doing a show. And I go, yeah, so John Robinson just got fired. They're like, what?
Oh, man. We'll never forget that day. I mean, because it was so outlandish that you would fire John. And then to come on and say it had been in the works for weeks, right? What was that, her comment, something along those lines?
Yeah.
I mean, just a blatant lie from her, and it was not, because she was at the game and saw what A.J. Brown did. So I was like, oh, man, this is something else. And that was just a crazy – because they were still in first place, right?
Yeah.
Weren't they in first place?
Yeah, they had a winning record. This was a couple weeks after the plane game, after they beat Green Bay.
Yeah, that's right.
And this is – yeah. So, and she's unpredictable. I mean, like, that. People ask me what happened or what's going to happen. The owner is unpredictable. Now, to Jared's report of bringing in a football czar, a president of football operations, I don't think that's a terrible idea, and I think she should have done that a long time ago. Because if you look at how their organization is structured, you know, they have a president in Burke Nyhill, but he's the business side.
Yeah, he knows nothing
about
football.
He's not football. He's business, and he's a nice guy. Met him several times. Good guy. But he's business. So let him run the business side. You need to bring in, and I felt like that John was kind of going this direction, but she needs to bring somebody to run the football side and then just get out of the way. Just be the owner.
She can't do that.
I don't know if it's she can't or somebody's pushing her, going like, no, you got to be more involved. You got to be more visible. You don't need to be Jim Irsay. You don't need to be Jerry Jones.
She could pay some dude $1 million or a female, whoever it is, $1 million to do this?
Right.
She's not going to do that.
No, she's not, but I'm saying that she should.
Who taught her about football?
Her father.
There we go.
And he didn't really know much about it either. So,
right.
Like, it just – like
this is just
– if I could give advice to her, it would be I'm using this example because we're in this building. They need a Sean Henry. They need somebody that, because Sean does both, and he can, you know, hockey side and the business side, but he is the face you see most of the time for this organization. Everybody knows who the owners are.
That's right.
Okay. Everybody knows who they are, and yeah. I think, you know, Governor Haslam, when he takes over, he's going to be a little more involved, but Sean is like the day-to-day face and voice that you hear from the Nashville Predators.
But
they need that person that can, especially on the football side.
Okay. I mean, I agree. On the hockey side, it works great. We love Sean. On the football side, I think that guy's got to be your general manager. I think that guy's got to be a general manager.
It should be the general manager.
If you bring in another voice to do all that, then I think, why do you have a general manager? Look, Vrabel's job is to coach football. That's it.
Yep.
And, you know, Rand Carthon's job is to bring in players and have some sort of relationship with Vrabel. Look, they don't have to be best friends, but they need to be best friends when it comes to, you know, acquiring talent going forward. I don't know. This is just – there's a lot of chaos that's going on here, and it's not good. And so you look at what's going to happen. So Vrabel leaves. They got to get something for him. Then Rand now is on the clock. Now, Amy, Rand is the guy now. I mean, he's running your football team. Does she want him to run the football team?
I don't know. We're about to find out. If it comes out today or tomorrow or whatever that they are firing Mike Vrabel, that they are flat out going to fire him, there's no trade and all that stuff, which trades are with coaches are a lot harder than we make them out to be. That's why they don't happen.
Right.
Then she has chosen Rand Carthon and going to let him run the football team.
Yeah, and then let him run the football team.
And I agree. Then get out of the way and let him run the team. And if it's right, then guess what? Congratulations. You lucked into it. Because I don't think that was your plan, but it worked. If not, then you got to go find somebody that can do that. Because I think you and I will agree on what I'm about to say.
Okay.
When this organization was at its best, was the early days when Bud was still in Houston, Floyd was running the team here as the general manager,
right?
And Jeff was the coach.
You're leaving out one person.
Was it Diamond or
Steve Underwood?
Steve Underwood, yeah.
Yep.
But Steve stayed in the background.
But he was still the conduit between Bud, Fisher, Floyd,
yeah,
the media, the city, the sports authority board.
Right.
All
he
that stuff.
He handled all the BS behind the scenes,
yeah, right,
and stuff that Floyd handled football.
And it
was before Jeff had any kind of Jeff Fisher had any kind of like executive vice president or front office. He was the coach. It was Floyd Reese as the head of the front office. Jeff Fisher's the coach. That's when everything was the best. It got messed up when Fisher got more power, and then there was a struggle, and you know they tried the collaboration thing. Then it doesn't work,
especially with the 06 draft of Vince Young, Leinart, and who was the other one? Cutler.
Yeah.
Who gets what? Who gets the all that stuff? Look, it's never going to be perfect, right? And now it's not going to go. Even now, if they do hire Czar, it's going to be so uncomfortable. But you got to hire Czar now, right? I mean, they've got to come out and say, look, we're going to work through this. We're going to hire a football person, yada, yada, yada. And now you're like, well, Vrabel doesn't know anything. And then you're snickering like, Rand doesn't know anything.
Right.
It's gotten bad over
so
there.
So how would you feel if the answer is she comes out and says, I'm just, you know, she's probably never going to say I've messed this up, but I'm going to hit the reset button. Rand's out, Vrabel's out. I'm going to bring in a president of football operations, and then they're going to go get the coach and whatever.
Let me tell you right now, she ain't firing Rand Carthon.
No, she's not.
She's not. He is not getting fired.
No.
If anybody gets fired, it's Vrabel.
I would agree with you.
And then you go down and say, okay, Rand, it's your team. Let's go. What are you going to do? And then you're on the clock.
And then you go and you look at connections to San Francisco and
whomever else.
Yep.
And go that way. But the great part is we just don't know what's going to happen. There's all these unknowns.
No, it's fascinating.
It is. And so we'll wait and keep refreshing the X button to see what happens because, you know, for the most part, we know this can be broken on a national stage, right? Schefter, Rappaport, Rossini, they're going to break it on a national stage, and we'll react here locally. And so we'll see what happens. But right now, it's not – I don't think it's pleasant over there.
8493, Big Joe's source is Jermaine, who works the night shift at the Twice Daily Mermaid, official sponsor of the Titans.
Hey, I hope he is because we tell you what, my guy's been 2 for 2. He called the Jake Locker retirement in 2014, and then he called the John Robinson firing last year.
Dylan has our first one. And Dylan, I know you're not telling the truth, but I knew somebody had to say it. If they don't re-sign Derrick Henry and Mike Vrabel is fired, I will never go to a Titans game again.
Uh-oh. Send that to Miss Adams, will
you,
real quick?
Do it.
Because she'll be like, wow, well, we got to figure this out now.
Yeah, right.
Did he drop? I'm waiting for the – I've been a season ticket holder from day one, and I'm not going to come back. Those are always good, too.
Marlon in Murfreesboro. Here's an interesting one.
Marlon!
You think Amy Adams Trunk is backing up the Brinks truck for Eddie George to be the head of football operations?
No.
Here we go again with the name we all know. Like, let's just bring him in and feel better.
By the way, I hope his surgery, that Mike Organ story, he had double replacement knee surgery.
Oh, dang.
Said it was bad. So I hope, Eddie, hope you're doing well, buddy.
For sure. The Predators back in action tonight against the Anaheim Ducks. We'll chat with our man Hal Gill about that coming up next. 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, we're live today at Bridgestone Arena. Dr. Crane is at the Spring Hill Heating and Cooling Game Nashville Studios, keeping your home feeling comfortable all year round. Visit SpringHillAC.com for more. As the Predators back in action tonight against the Anaheim Ducks, we say hello to our man Hal Gill, who will be on the television looking great, laying on the brand new desk. Know that thing's sturdy, Hal, you know, for you to lay on it, but good to talk to you. How are you?
Well, I'm good, man. How are you doing? Yeah, that desk is nice, right?
Yeah,
it's good. It's a little change up.
Yeah, a little more room. A little more room for you and Lindsay, which is good. Yeah. Have some guests.
I'm a tall drink of water. I need to stretch my my stuff out a little bit, you know?
Yes, for sure. Predators back in action against a pesky young Anaheim team that you never really know with them. I heard somebody this morning when I was walking in the building refer to them as a wild card. Should be a good test for Nashville tonight.
Yeah, they got nothing to lose, right? They're just some young kids going out, snapping around and trying to score goals. And, you know, if they lose the game, yeah, so be it. They want to go out and get their points and play hard and try to develop the young players' games. And they just had a big trade. So there's a lot of fuss going on about them right now. So it should be an entertaining game to see at the least, but certainly one the Preds need to get 2 points out of.
Thursday against Calgary was one that nobody wanted. Nobody felt good about it. The 6-3 loss to the Flames. Then they respond Saturday, go down to Dallas, and it's a back-and-forth heavyweight fight with a team that, you know, a lot of people look at as a cup contender in the Dallas Stars. They win 4-3, get 2 big points. How big was that one for the confidence and just the overall feel of the team?
Yeah, but I think on so many levels, that's a huge win. First of all, you need to be a team that bounces back and from a bad loss. You know, you can't have two losses. You know, you can have a loss, you can have two losses, but when you have a stinker like against Calgary, you need to respond to that, and to respond and get it against Dallas is huge. And I look at the flip side of, you know, if they lose that game in Dallas, then you have a stinker against the Flames. You lose to Dallas, then you're going into really what becomes a must-win tonight, right, against a team that is below you and you should beat, but your confidence is shot. So then you're up against the wall, like, because if you lose this one and you go back to Dallas again, it becomes a slippery slope. So I think they righted the ship just at the right time with a solid game in Dallas, some big performances down the stretch to make sure they sealed that win. But that's a huge one, because if it goes the other way, oof, it's a tough one.
We're talking to the most handsome Hal Gill this morning on the Chase and Big Joe show. You're welcome. Hal, tonight is the halfway point of the season for the Nashville Predators, game number 41. Is this team where you thought they would be? Did they go beyond your expectations or what? What's your kind of opinion halfway through now?
Well, I think I've been pretty honest with myself, not having any expectations, just because I think the grand scheme is kind of a retooling, a rebuild, and trying to develop young guys. I'm really impressed with where they are. I think I've been so impressed. That top line, Nyquist, O'Reilly, and Forsberg have just been monsters. And I think they've done so many good things around that line that's really brought them to where they are. And now the exciting part is, they haven't really had the big kick from the younger guys. There hasn't been, like, these guys have show signs of being good. You look at Tomasino, Parsonen, Novak, Glass, Evangelista. All these guys have showed that they can be good players, but it hasn't been consistent. And so the exciting part for me is halfway through the season, you have a huge upside if these guys come around. You know, you call up Gurianov and you're trying to see what he can do. They're where they are, and it's not because of the depth that I think they're going to have eventually. So, it's still wait and see, but I'm really excited with where this team and where they could go if these guys start to pop.
Yeah, I had a coach when I played college football. I said, no matter what happens in the world, give me 60 minutes on a Saturday, right? Give me everything you got. I know the Preds have had a couple of stinkers here and there, but I like the fact that this team plays a full 60 minutes almost 99% of the time.
Yeah. I think the big thing is, okay, they had a stinker, awful first period against Calgary, but I don't know about you, but I felt like they're one goal away from turning this thing around. You know, if they can get a good break, if they can score here, then they'll get some momentum, and then they'll come back, and they could pull this off. And they had a bad game, and I'm still saying that. So that's going to your point. These guys compete every night, and that's all you can ask. You know, it's not going to be perfect. I don't think they're the stocked and loaded team, but they're out there every night, and they're giving us something fun to watch, and they're competitive, and they're competing to try to win games on a regular basis. And really, that's, like you said, that's what the coaches want. They want that 60 minutes whenever they can get it, and I think they've been consistent with that.
You played a long time in the league. Let me ask you this question. Do you want teammates who love to win or hate to lose?
I was thinking about this the other day, and I always, you know, because someone asked me the same thing, and personally, you know, my thought, I want someone that hates to lose in practice and loves to win in a game.
Ah,
and
good.
By that, I mean, hey, you lost a game. Like, okay, next practice, I am going to give it everything I got. I am going to tighten the screws. But when it comes game time, I'm thinking about winning the game. I'm thinking about winning that battle in front of me. I think if you go out there afraid to lose, I think it's not the right mindset, and it can get you somewhere. But I think if you want to go the whole way, you have to love to win, and you have to compete like you're a kid on the playground that just wants to win. And I think that's the mentality you have to have. But I think going back to, you know, the core group of guys here, I think if they lose a game, they're in practice and they're dialed in and they're rebounding from that. And that's that fear of failure that turns around into a hard practice and a reset to give you a chance to win the next night.
We're talking to Hal Gill, presented by Duncan. Luke Evangelista, 19 points so far this year, 6 amongst NHL rookies. I know he's been up and down at times, but I feel like he's starting to get that confidence and that swagger that I really think is going to carry him through a nice NHL career.
You're GD right, he is. Yeah, that's he's. I won't throw the same quote, but you know, I think that swagger is what's going to make him a great player. But I think he's developing throughout the season an edge that is getting him into the hard areas to play. And like, he's not a big guy, but he's got to be able to, you know, not just make the cut and make the pretty dish, which we know he can do, but he's got to be able to pull the trigger and skate to a spot. And a lot of times that's going to be hard spots to get to. And I think we've seen that in glimpses. Now he's just got to make it part of his normal habit where he's attacking the game and not just trying to make the pretty plays, but kind of adding a little bit of grit to that. And he's done that, and I think he's just building on that, and hopefully it becomes habit after a while.
Going to be a fun one tonight against Anaheim. Skillsy, I appreciate it as always, and I'll come by and say hello at your nice new desk.
Come see my desk. It's beautiful.
I will.
I will. Guys.
Later, Hal.
Cheers.
Hal Gill, presented by Duncan, here on the Chase and Big Joe show, and I think this will be a fun one tonight. Evangelista, though, if you haven't been to a game yet this year, what's wrong with you? Get to a game. But number 77 is fun. He is fun to watch. He's just got a lot of energy. 21 years old.
It's a shame he's not handsome either, right?
Oh, yeah, I know, right?
Good Lord.
He's got nothing going for him.
Right. You know? He's got the last name right there.
He's got the hair, got the hockey flow going.
God, wouldn't that be so nice, man, these guys.
And he's just fun. Like, yep. I mean, like, you know, you need to go look the quote up because I can't say it on the air, but that didn't stop him. You know?
I mean, I listened to the game the other night when they were in Dallas. You're thinking, oh, they're in Dallas. Dallas is good. And just to win the game, and that's why this fight and this hockey team is just, there's something building here, man. And it reminds me. And look, and I'll be upfront. I don't know a lot about hockey. I just love the Preds. It eerily reminds me. Was it Carolina before COVID? They started kind of building with all the young guys and getting good. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Well, and the other thing too is, and it's easy for you and I to see because we were around him for so long. This team has the personality of their GM and their head coach.
There you go, man.
They're a Barry Trotz, carry the water, work pail kind of team, and Andrew Brunette's the same type.
Yep.
And you can see that. And Brunette, like you talk about, you know, do you love to win or do you hate to lose? And I know what you mean by that.
Yeah.
like, does losing just piss you off and just consume you? Like, I watch and listen to Andrew Brunette after they lose, like they did against Calgary. And I think it was Robbie asked, you know, is this a wake-up call or should that have come already? And he's like, yeah, that should have happened a long time.
Nice.
Like, yeah, I love that.
I agree. And I love Hal's answer. I've never heard that before. But, you know, from a professional athlete to get Hal's insight on that, I mean, you hate to lose in practice but love to win the games. Man, that's what I've told you. I want teammates who hate to lose. That's Jordan talked about losing, and Tom Brady talked about losing. Joe Montana. Just the common denominator, a lot of these great – winners is they just hate to lose. All right, what's next, man?
Coming up next, we haven't done this in a while, and we're gonna do it and be consistent about it.
We are.
I'm done. What is something that you are done with? It can be related to the professional football team. It can be related to anything you want. 615-737-1025. What are you done with? On the line, a pair of tickets to see Extreme and Living Color at Ryman Auditorium on Saturday, March 16th. But you must bring it the best. I'm done. You can call or text 615-737-1025. That's next. Chase and Big Joe, presented by Regal Realty Group, 1025-1063. The game.
I've seen this car now four other times.
Still running with the donut?
Still running with the donut. All right? So I'm done with my caring for this guy.
I'm done with people not stopping when the national anthem starts. Just stop. Like, you can wait a second. And I love when I see the concession workers, they stop.
Hey, a little intro. I like that. Well done.
I'm done. 615-737-1025. I made somebody mad with that, too, which is funny.
That's the point of it.
You can call, you can text, and on the line. Actually, we have two pairs of tickets to see Extreme and Living Color at the Ryman Auditorium on Saturday, March 16th. 615-737-1025. What are you done with? Maybe Mike Vrabel's listening, and he can call in and say he's done with the Titans. Break some news with us.
What would Mike Vrabel's burner radio call-in name be? Like Mark from Melrose? There'd be some sort of alliteration there. Yeah. You know, Harry from Hermitage. You know, Brian from Bellevue. Something.
Yeah.
Albert from Akron.
Well, it's got to be local.
Oh, well, isn't he from Ohio, though?
Yeah, he is. But like... That would be good.
Yeah,
Albert from Akron. Yeah.
Gary from Germantown. It's something just ridiculously stupid.
Yeah. That could be good. I'm just waiting. Like, I just feel like we're sitting here and we're just kind of going on with our lives, and then boom.
Oh, it's
going
to happen.
Schefter, you know, or Rappaport, somebody's going to – Rossini, something's going to happen.
All right, so you're going to go first with I'm done? We want to hear from you. I'm done. What are you done with?
I am done – and I'm guilty of it, too. So I'm putting myself, you know, in this, too. I am done with the overuse of the word we.
Oh, okay.
It happens way too much. Like, I have been guilty of how we doing today. And you're talking to one person. the other is, you know, and I try not to do this, but other people do it. Like when they refer to their team, like, well, we really put up a good effort today.
You get me?
And it's like,
you're winning me over.
What did you do?
you're winning me over. Yeah. I got a problem with news anchors around town. Like, you know, we lost or we beat Jacksonville. No, you know, we didn't beat Jacksonville.
Here's the one that drives me. This is like a huge pet peeve. And
all right,
if Sean or GM is listening, like, sorry, but it drives me nuts when like you have a responsibility to do something, and somebody will ask you like, hey, can we get those things done today? And it's like, what are you doing? Are you helping me with them? Like, no, that's my job. Say, can you do it? Like, it, and it's the dumbest thing, and it shouldn't drive me nuts, but it's just, and so that's what sparked this is, somebody said, like, hey, can we, you know, take care of this? And it's like, no, I can take care of it.
Right.
So,
well,
say
it doesn't
you
sound
can,
more demeaning. Like, can you take care of this? Or like,
no,
hey, can we take care of this?
It doesn't bother me.
Okay.
Because, like, unless you're going to help me.
Okay. All right.
Like, my mom would say stuff like that to me all the time. Like, hey, can we clean your room? Like, no, I guess I'm going to have to clean it. Are you helping?
Right. That's a good one. You won me over on that one. Mine is, I'm done. And I had it coming in this morning, or live at the arena this morning. I had it coming in on the road, and then I saw it in the car.
Y'all, quit driving with your dogs in your lap. Quit. I know they're precious. I'm telling you, when I started in TV, I was a cameraman. I rolled up to several bad accidents where the dogs were not buckled in and they passed away. Stop driving with the dog in your lap. And it's always a man. It's always a damn little poodle or chihuahua. It's what it almost always is, all right? Just don't do it, all right? If you got to take your dogs, put them in the back seat and buckle them in. They'll sit there.
Yeah.
That's fine. Stop driving with your dogs in your lap. Not only that, but you're in the fast lane, and what if your dog drops down, you know, on the floorboard? You got to – I mean, it's bad.
Yeah.
Nothing good comes out of this. Stop driving with your dogs.
And I hate it, too, of like you see a truck, and they put the dog in the bed of the truck with no, like, leash or anything.
Oh, it's flying around like it's in a wrestling match. Yeah, I absolutely agree. Yep.
I just saw that billboard, and I thought that said Brady Gall.
No, I did. Stop looking at my computer, you weirdo.
Sorry.
So I'm done. Well, now we want to hear from you. What are you done with? Oh, Gator Mike weighed in. He actually had, for the first time, Gator Mike had something funny to say. He's like, I'm done with that Damian Lillard Gatorade commercial.
Okay, yeah.
No, okay. I get it.
Justin, I'm already done with political ads. The year has barely begun, and we're already being swamped with them on every form of entertainment. It's just going to get worse.
Hold on, but for those that work in the media business, we do love those. We love the political ads.
You know what we call that? Free money.
That's right.
That's what that is.
Yeah, but now we get you, though, man. I understand that completely.
Let's see. Coy in Clarksville, I'm done with the collaboration word.
That's a good – mark that one down. That's good. Yep, yes.
That's a good one.
Yep.
Shane in the Borough, I'm done with people yelling out specific words during the national anthem. It happens at numerous arenas around the league. It's just annoying as crap. Stop it. Just listen to the anthem and honor what it stands for.
It happens here, doesn't it?
It does. The UC.
Yeah, and then
started.
When Dallas was here and they did the Stars.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just
– I'm kind of with him on that. Like, I just – the anthem just, you know.
Yep. Just let it go.
Joseph, not you. I'm also done with insane PSL prices. Looking at you, Amy.
Oh,
my brother's got PSLs.
My brother's got a rent on it. He's not. He's been a season ticket holder for years. He's not going. And I know a lot of people aren't going to pony up the prices on that stadium over there. New stadium.
I'm tired of hearing about collaboration. That's
love it. Yes.
I'm done with people in the fast lane who drive slow, and we pass people in the slow lane. It's becoming the norm. Yeah, I'm just kind of like, it just, I feel like, you know, when I'm in a hurry and I have to pass people, I become Chase Earnhardt, and I just, it's whatever lane now.
It is, but that's the thing about going with people with dogs in their lap. They're always in the fast lane. Yeah. I'm like, stop doing that.
Robert, I'm done with, we got to coach better, play better.
They should have been done with that a long time ago.
Matthew in Nashville, I'm done with people who walk really slow down the middle of the road in a crowded parking lot when you're trying to find a parking spot. P.S., driving with your dog in your lap is considered a misdemeanor in Tennessee, by the way.
Oh, thank you. I did not know that. Good. Any citizen's arrest.
Slow walking people, get the bleep out of the way. I agree with that. And I can't stand it if you've got a standard sidewalk like this. That's why I hate – well, one of the many reasons why I hate going on Broadway. But I see it in Target. I see it anywhere where you got to walk in the middle of the aisle and just take your own sweet time and you're holding hands or you're trying to get your kid to behave. Like, just get the bleep out of the way.
Well, that's the self-awareness part of that.
Yeah. 7099, I'm done with people thinking dogs need to go everywhere. I like dogs. I don't necessarily like your dog, Jeremy.
That's a great one. Thank you. Yes, I totally agree. And that's like, you know, when I leave the house in the morning, I tell my dog at least 15 times, I love you, I love you, I love you, and then I put a TV show on for. Isn't that just insanity? But don't we all do that?
Hey, Dr. Crane, make Jeremy one of the winners.
That's got it.
I like that one. Gover, I'm done with mandatory software updates.
Oh, and they only come at the time you need to really get on your computer. Don't restart and that 0% comes up. That's a good one.
Wes in Clarksville, I'm done with everyone trying to get rid of the best running back in the league. Keep Henry.
We're with you, man.
Hey, we'd like to keep Henry, too.
Yep. Which
we.
Hey-o!
Damn it.
You're right on that. Yes.
Oh, this is good. Hit it. I don't know what it is, but your reaction.
Well, it's based on a commercial we air. 0749. I'm done hearing how Mike can't make it happen in the bedroom.
But Mike, that commercial has the best voice inflection because he's high and he's low and he pauses just enough.
One more. Jeff from Tennessee. I'm tired of the Swifties and the Kelsies trying to push the COVID shot on me. Jeff and Aaron, Tennessee.
Ma!
Add side-by-side walkers in stores instead of single file to the walking list. That's from Byron. That's true. That's very true.
Do you, speaking of those, what you said a mom grabbing her child, when you see a mom spanking a child, you laugh? Because we've been there, right? I mean, you've got your butt whipped in Target or some store and you're a kid. It just like,
I kind of go like, damn, like we've all been there. Like, that's kind of my reaction.
You know what the most overheard phrase at Walmart is?
What?
Michaela, put that back.
Yeah. Oh, my favorite, and this has happened to me a couple times.
All right.
Parent not paying attention to their kid at all, just letting their kid run around in the store like, you know, they own the place. And the kid is just going full steam. I'm tall. I can't see. Like, I'm straight ahead walking.
Well, you're 6'9". Yeah.
And the kid just plows right into my thigh, which does not feel – or into my my shin, which does not feel good. And then they go flying, and they're crying, and the mom gets mad at me. I'm like, well, you're letting them run around.
You know, I bet you know who a rambunctious child was when they were young? Dr. Crane.
Probably.
Dr. Crane, is that true?
Nah.
I don't know.
Nah, my grandparents, yes, but no. My mom and dad, I could not.
Okay. All right. Just checking.
All right. We'll, we got one winner. We'll look through and give another winner to I'm Done every Tuesday at 9:45.
Read it or hold off to the next one.
I'll hold off. Yeah.
Okay.
Every Tuesday at 9:45. Coming up next, we'll get back into the Titans discussion and Mike Vrabel. Are we going to get any news? 102.5, 106.3 The Game.